Ahead. Thank you. We're going to go ahead and get started. So welcome to the Scribal Conservatory Arts and Worship Center Sunday virtual service. We meet here in Georgia, and Apostle Teresa is our leader, and I am excited to minister to you all on today. And so what I want to do is I want to go over what Apostle typically goes over, but a condensed version, because this is her platform and I want to make sure that I honor the time that she's given me. So just basically, this is the copyright page. The scriptures that I'll be using are going to be from the International Version or the King James Version. And the pictures that you'll be seeing are licensed out through my PowerPoint that I've paid for. Again, this is the Scribal Conservatory Arts and Worship Center. Any of the material that you hear on today is inspired by Holy Spirit and also stays in the vein of the teaching that Apostle Teresa, my mentor, has taught us. So if you hear similar things, that's because we like to stay in the same vein, if you will. All right, so I want to tell you a little bit about the Scribal Conservatory for those of you who may be joining us for the first time. Again, welcome. We are happy that you chose to spend the day with us. So the Scribal Conservatory, this is our overview. And basically, the Scribal Conservatory Arts and Worship Center is a safe place to explore, activate, refine, and demonstrate your gifts and talents in the Lord while being immersed in the reality of Christ. Okay. I can tell you firsthand, I love the Scribal Conservatory because it doesn't have the bells and whistles of religiosity, if you will. What is a conservatory or a conservator? A conservatory is a college or university of study. A conservator is a guardian or protector of a specific body of knowledge or work. Okay, again, I'm not going to read everything, but I just want to give you guys a little bit of the tidbits here. We conserve the following principles. The following principles, which is our measure. So this is the basis of what we believe at the conservatory, because that's very important when you're joining a community, what we believe, okay? So we transforming nations, and you can look up these scriptures on your own, but Romans 12:2, through the renewing of your mind, very important. Also reinforcing covenant, Hebrews 8:6-13, Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant. Also, elevating Christ above men, okay? And that's Hebrews 3:1-6. Christ is worthy of a greater honor than Moses. And finally, increasing understanding, which is Proverbs 2. He stores up sound wisdom for the righteous. So embracing immersion as our roots grow deep in him. So here at the conservatory, we concentrate and focus on Christ. And that is the most important. All right. Again, we meet and we're based out of Atlanta, Georgia. And if you would like to contact Apostle Teresa, this is the information, especially those who may be in Georgia and you don't have a place of fellowship. Although we're virtual, this is just temporary. And we do fun things as a community. We go on trips. We fellowship in a non-traditional setting. We have fun movie nights. It's pretty cool. All right. So that's the information, her Facebook website, as well as email. So she's very touchable. Okay. You don't have to go through 10 armor bears to say hello. I'm sorry. All right. Tuesday night, the Scribal Conservatory Arts and Worship Center Bible study. All right. This is a awesome time where you can ask questions. You can talk, you can interact with the teachers as well as the leaders that Apostle has designated to help everyone. And that is on Tuesdays on Facebook at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Last week, Samantha taught, and it was so phenomenal. The week before, Jenna taught, it was phenomenal. So Apostle is also building up leaders as well so that they can walk in their purpose. So you guys meet us on Tuesdays through Facebook or the Zoom link, and you can actually be a part of it as well. If you would like to give, Veruva will be posting the links. I know one is missing, I believe, but this is the link to give. And I just don't want to skate past this because you want to always sow into good ground. All right. So y'all put that down and put that in your notes and stuff. All right. Again, so let's get started. This is the Scribal Conservatory. I'm Prophet L.A. Holtz. Okay, so last week on the Bible study, before Samantha began, Apostle said something that hit my spirit in a way I couldn't shake it. So the Lord gave me an extended message based off of one phrase, one sentence that Apostle said, and I just was like, that's amazing. And so the title of this teaching today is Say Yes to the Pursuit. And I got this title from Apostle when she mentioned it Tuesday on the Bible study, when she was talking about saying yes to the pursuit. And so today I pray that you all are encouraged. I'm going to give you some practical principles, some kingdom keys concerning this subject matter, saying yes to the pursuit. All right, so the first thing I want to do, if you are familiar with my teaching style right now, because it could grow and do something different later, I like to start out with defining so that we can start on the same page, okay? So this came from Webster's Dictionary. To pursue is the act of going after or in the tracks of another, okay? This, y'all, I want you to, I didn't pray first. Let me just do that real quick before we get started. Father, we just thank you. Forgive me, Lord. I apologize. We just thank you for today. We thank you for the message. We thank you for the subject matter of saying yes to the pursuit. Holy Spirit, I thank you for flowing through me. I feel the presence of the Lord. I thank you for each and every person listening that's under the sound of my voice. I thank you for those listening via Facebook and all the other social media platforms. I thank you for our leader, Apostle Teresa Harvard Johnson. And I just, Lord, I just ask that everybody have the ears to hear by the Spirit on today, Lord. I thank you for this being fortified in their souls and their minds in Jesus' name. And I just decrease so that you may get the increase in this message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Okay, so to pursue. The act of going after or in the tracks of another, right? To pursue, to follow in order to overtake, capture, or chase. Oftentimes when I hear about this particular definition, I automatically think of the animal kingdom. I absolutely love animals, and I think of how the lioness, who are the hunters in the animal kingdom, if you will, that's what they do. They overtake, they capture, they chase. They want something so bad that they come together as a community to go after that particular prey. So I just a visual of that. Also to follow close upon, go with, attend, to pursue, to strive, to gain, seek, to attain or accomplish, right? To proceed in accordance with. So this is important. You have a method, a plan, as an example, to carry on or continue, as in a course of action. I hope you all are listening and hearing this. also to continue to annoy, afflict, or trouble. Now, I know you're saying, now, wait a minute, but if you think about it, have you ever made trouble with God? There's a certain prayer life when you are in his presence and you're trying to get something conveyed across to the Lord. When you have a relationship with someone, you can be annoying. Okay. So when I saw that definition, I was like, yeah, I annoy God sometimes, Lord. And I'm not talking about from a place of begging. I'm talking about from a place of authority and sonship. For parents, have you ever had a child that wanted to convince you of something? Well, last week you said you want to do this and I spent all this money on these instruments. Now you're saying you want to be an athlete, but then the child comes to you and they're like, no, I'm telling you, mom, I believe I want to do this. I know I said I wanted to play the tuba, but no, I want to be a track star, but those shoes are $500. And they're annoying you until finally you go out and you get what they need and they excel in that thing. That's what I think about when I see this particular definition, to annoy, to afflict, or to make trouble, okay? Also to pursue, it's just to practice, okay? And finally, to continue to discuss, to follow. So I hope you all got those visuals, and I'm sorry I cannot see any of your comments if you're having questions or comments right now, because I'm in this particular platform. All right. So 1 Peter 3:8-12, it says, finally, all of you must live in harmony, be sympathetic, love as brothers, and be compassionate and humble. Do not pay others back evil for evil or insult for insult. Instead, keep blessing them because you were called to inherit a blessing. Verse 10, for the person who wants to love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil. Now let's stop right there. For the person who wants to love life and see good days, that sounds like the pursuit of happiness. So if you ever wonder, where did they get that term from? It's in the word already. For the person who wants to love life and see good days, he must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the Lord watches the righteous and he pays attention to their prayers. But the Lord opposes those who do wrong. So I'm setting it up here, you all. So happiness, this is a quote here, because I want to give a visual to the scripture as well. Happiness is when what you think, what you say, and what you do are in harmony. Mahatma Gandhi. So that right there, it makes it plain that that's what holiness is. Living righteously, living holy is just being one way. And that's what this particular quote, this is what the scripture is saying. So in sonship, we should always be pursuing oneness, wholeness, holiness, oneness in God, in Christ. And so that's what this particular quote reminds me of. So when you are in the pursuit of having the mind of Christ and being like Christ, everything will align where what you think when you have the mind of Christ, what you say when you have the mind of Christ, and what you are doing when you have the mind of Christ, all are aligned as one. So I want to go over the kingdom attributes that we must pursue, like the scripture that we just read. So I pulled out the first half of those attributes, which were are harmony, living in harmony, being sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate to one another, and walking in humility. Man, Let me break this down for you. How do you obtain these kingdom attributes? Say yes to the pursuit. Only in the pursuit of Christ can we ascertain these attributes. So in Romans 14 and 19, it says, so then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. So now I want to go over the things that the scripture is talking about. So the kingdom attributes that we must pursue. Harmony. Walking in agreement with those God has sent to help you will allow harmony to be your portion. Let me say that again. Walking in agreement with those God has sent to help you will allow harmony to be your portion. See, oftentimes we are going through things in life and we're trying to figure out why is life so hard? Why do I keep hitting a brick wall? Could it be that you are not walking in agreement with your help? That could be spouse. That could be the men and women of God that the Lord has sent in your life. That could be your brothers and sisters in Christ. Are you always walking in opposition of your help? Jesus. So harmony will be your portion if you learn how to practice walking in agreement, because we have to admit and we have to come to the conclusion that we don't know everything. And it has nothing to do with how old you are. It has nothing to do with the experience of life that you've had. We simply need people around us to sharpen us. Iron sharpens iron. And when we are going from glory to glory and strength to strength, we have to recognize that God will send help in times of trouble. And the best thing for us to do is to walk in agreement with that help so that then we will begin to live in harmony. Two, being sympathetic. Understanding with care about someone else's problems or needs. Okay. You want to make sure that you don't get to a place where the Lord has brought you out of some hard times, brought you out of trouble, that you forget that just last year or just 5 years ago, you were a hot mess. We were a hot mess. And we cannot treat people as if that they don't go through a process, that we didn't go through a process. We have to be sympathetic. We have to show people care, because care translates into love and kindness. And the word says, with love and kindness shall I draw all men unto me. So when we're being sympathetic to someone else's issues or someone else's season of trouble, then that's going to translate to them. Well, if you have God in your heart, if you have Christ in your heart, and you're caring about me, then I want the God in you that you have in me. Let's keep going. Love as brothers. This is so important, because when you love as brothers, this basically means the translation or the revelation that Holy Spirit was sharing with me is no expectation of favors. In other words, I'm going to love you unconditionally. I'm going to love you with the hava love. I'm going to love you with the kononia, so that whatever it is you're doing on your side, I want to please the Lord with the love I have for you. So when you begin to deal with people from that perspective of brotherly love with no expectation, then again, you're going to align with that harmony. You're going to align with, you know what? I want to make sure that I'm representing Christ correctly. So eventually you'll come around. Now, I'm not talking about abusive situations. I just want to give that disclaimer. I'm just speaking of of right, not okay, all right, y'all get that. All right, let's keep going. You want to also be compassionate, right? Not just caring in words, but creating action towards the issues. Now, I'm going to give you an example so that I can give you, paint that picture, right? So let's just say you're in service and somebody, you know how you say, hey, how you doing? And somebody actually answers the question instead of saying, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. No, how are you doing it? Well, actually, you know, I went to Walgreens and I did not realize my insurance lapsed and I couldn't purchase my medication. So I'm a little discouraged right now because I don't know how I'm going to get it. And then you say, well, I'm praying for you, sis. And then you walk off. That's not being compassionate. Being compassionate, especially if the Lord has blessed you to be able to solve a problem, would be not just caring in words. Well, oh my goodness, that's just terrible. They didn't call you about your insurance. That is terrible. Oh my God. And then you don't do nothing about it. That's ridiculous. No, you want to be compassionate to the point where you create action towards the issue. Well, sis, let me call you tomorrow and let's call your insurance company together so I can help you through this particular thing. In the meantime, how much is your medicine? Because if I have it, then you have it. All right, let's keep going. Walk in humility. This is the base. This is the foundation from everything I've talked about above it. It takes humility not to make everything about you. Whew. I'm sorry, but it's true. It takes humility. It takes humility for us to put others, consider others above ourselves. And it does take practice, especially if we've been living the majority of our lives in a fallen state. But once we ascend into sonship, the fallen nature of who we used to be then transforms into who Christ intended for us to be. So a place of humility is where we walk so that we recognize, you know what, I want to live as a, with a servant's heart. I want to make sure you are okay. What can I do? How may I help you? It's like a posture of helps, a posture of consideration that sons walk in. Hallelujah. Let's keep going. We're talking about say yes to the pursuit. So what keeps you from your yes? We read it, speaking evil, being deceitful, committing evil acts, persons living a life in turmoil and confusion are people who typically speak evil, are manipulative, and are willingly living in disobedience. So sometimes when things are going awry in our lives, we have to step back and use the word as a mirror. And you have to do some spiritual investigating. And I mean self of investigating. Now, if all these things are going wrong, if I can't seem to get things right, let me reevaluate. Let me do some spiritual investigating. Let me break down this word and then apply it to my now. So if the scripture says, don't do this, speaking evil. If the scripture says, don't do this, yeah, I was deceitful. I've been deceitful for, I just can't give it up. I am used to being manipulative to get my way. And that's an area that I have not given over to the Lord. Committing evil acts. That could be a myriad of things, from cheating on taxes, all the way up or all the way down, however you want to look at it. What am I doing? What am I doing? What is keeping me from saying yes to the pursuit? Why can't I jump all the way in? Listen, it stems from disobedience of the word of God. So let's read it again now that we've got those perspectives laid out. 1 Peter 3:8-12. We read it earlier. Finally, all of you must live in harmony. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, and be compassionate and humble. Do not pay others back evil for evil or insult for insult. Instead, keep blessing them because you were called to inherit a blessing. Hallelujah. For the person who wants to love life and see good days, for the person who is in pursuit, hallelujah, must keep his tongue from evil. Listen, these are kingdom keys. His lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. So wait a minute. If I remove these negative elements out of my life, is this the key for the person who wants to love life and see good days? So if you are finding yourself in a situation where you are living the opposite of loving life and seeing good days, investigate yourself. Hallelujah. For the Lord watches the righteous and he pays attention to their prayers. I want to be in a position with the Father where I know that he is watching me because I'm living righteously. And when I pray, I want to know that the Lord is paying attention. Now, listen, let me give you this key. Oh, this is so good, y'all. Listen, the Lord hears everybody when they talk. He knows all. He hears all. He sees all. He knows everything before it begins and starts. He knows, right? So when people pray, he can hear you. But that doesn't mean he's paying attention. Come on. The Bible says, for we know that God heareth not a sinner's prayer, but if any man be a worshiper and doeth his will, him God heareth. What does that mean? That means start with the prayer of repentance. Now I'm paying attention. You know how parents, when kids are acting crazy in the other room and they, ma, 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 and then I said that 10 times and there's something, there's a mechanism, a turnoff switch. They hear ma, ma, but they're not paying attention. Hallelujah. So you want to be in a place where you're living righteously, where the Lord, it says it right here. Don't get mad at me. For the Lord watches the righteous and he pays attention to their prayers. You can't live any old kind of way and expect him to pay attention. He hears you, but he just waiting on you to line up with the original intent of your purpose. Hallelujah. And then it continues on to say, but the Lord opposes those who do wrong. That's what it says. Okay. That's just what it says. All right. Praise God. Let's keep going. We are putting into action the pursuit of Christ in our lives. So the more we pursue God, the more peace we obtain. So you want to know how to obtain peace, how to grab hold and immerse yourselves in peace? Pursue God. Say yes to the pursuit, because when you get lost in the pursuit of him, all outside entities diminish in your life. What once was so big because you were handling it on your own, in your own strength, then becomes small because you have released that thing and given it to the Lord. So the reward of saying yes to the pursuit. 1 Peter 3:12, for the Lord watches the righteous. This is the reward for saying yes. For the Lord watches the righteous and he pays attention to their prayers, but the Lord opposes those who do wrong. I want to walk in the rewards of sonship. I want to walk in the rewards that as I'm saying yes to the pursuit, the Lord is refining the things that are that have to do with me, right? So Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. There we go again. The kingdom keys are popping out of the scripture. So you want to know how to obtain peace with all men. You want to know how to obtain peace. It says the sanctification. You have to have and live in sanctification, a sanctified life, a sanctified dwelling space for Holy Spirit, which is our bodies, our temples. Hallelujah. When you live and walk in that, you walk in peace. You have peace. Without it, no one can see the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I know the difference between before I got saved and after sonship. I live in peace. And peace is something you cannot buy. And many people are searching, doing everything else, pursuing everything else because they're searching for peace. Hallelujah. Let's keep going. Proverbs 11:19, it says, he who is steadfast in righteousness will attain to life, and he who pursues evil will bring about his own death. I believe that that's self-explanatory, but we have to be steadfast in the posture of righteousness. It's a lifestyle. It's not something you take on and take off. You don't wake up in the morning and, okay, I'm going to live righteous today, but then you partying and then let me take it off. I'll put it back on tomorrow. No. It's a lifestyle, right? And he who pursues evil will bring about his own death. And that doesn't have to be a physical death. But if you're living in turmoil, if you don't have peace, if there's all kind of destruction breaking loose in your life and everywhere you turn, you just can't get it together. And that can be a form of death, separating from the Lord. Living separate from his principles, living separate from what he wants for you in the inheritance of sonship. That's like walking dead men. Hallelujah. Let's keep going. Proverbs 12:28. In the way of righteousness is life. And in its pathway, there is no death. So we're getting these kingdom keys as we're saying yes to the pursuit. And if you look at the picture in the background, I love this picture because it denotes freedom to me. This woman, she's on top of a mountain and just free. So in the way of righteousness is life. She's just living her life. And in its pathway, there's no death. So you want to live your best life? Walk in the way of righteousness. That's the key. Hallelujah. So let's say yes to the pursuit. This is a picture of Paul. And he is in jail, and he wrote a letter to in Philippians, and I want to read this because this entire chapter talks about the pursuit, if you will. So Philippians 3, if you all have your word, please turn to that. Philippians 3, I'm gonna read from the NIV. And it says, "For my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. And it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those manipulators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, in regards to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, prosecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Listen. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the death. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold, to pursue, to take hold of that of which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await the Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. If that doesn't sound like saying yes to the pursuit, I don't know what does. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to say yes to the pursuit. We have to forget those things which are behind us and strain forward to the things that God has before us. Remember those definitions in the beginning. We have to stay on task. We have to follow. We have to step in the path of Jesus Christ. When we say yes to the pursuit, every footstep that he's taking, we're taking it right behind him. We are saying yes to the pursuit. I don't care what's going on behind me, Lord, but I am going to keep my eyes fixed on you. I don't care what people are saying about me concerning the things you brought me out of, but I'm going to say yes to the pursuit as my feet continue to move, as I continue to be in the posture of putting other people before me, as I begin to continue to be in the posture of not being manipulative as I used to be before I knew who you were. I want to continue to say yes to the pursuit so that I can have compassion on the people instead of, let me just pray for you. No, I want to continue to say yes to the pursuit so that my mind can line up with the word of God. So what I say can line up with the word of God, and what I do can line up with the word of God, so that I am being one with you as I say yes to the pursuit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want to end with the question. I want to end with this question. Hallelujah. Have you answered yes to the pursuit? What will it take for you to completely say yes to the pursuit? Is there anything in my life that is unpleasing to you, Lord? Because I want to say yes to the pursuit. I want to make sure that you understand, as I trouble you in my prayers, that I am simply saying yes to the pursuit. That the fear of man has fallen off of me. And I don't care what people try to say to me. I just want to say yes to the pursuit. Say yes to the pursuit. Will you say yes today to the pursuit? What is it that you just don't want to give up? What is it that you don't want to stop doing? What is it that is bringing you comfort that you haven't given over to the Lord? Can you say yes to the pursuit? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for joining us on today. On behalf of Apostle Teresa Harvard Johnson and the Scribal Conservatory Arts and Worship Center, we want to just thank you all for taking the time out of your schedules to join us today. And I just want to pray with you all real quick, and then I'm going to turn it over to Apostle. Lord, we just thank you, Father, on today. We thank you, Father God, for continuing to prune our hearts. We thank you, Father God, for Holy Spirit helping us walk in the yes of the pursuit. I lift up every person under the sound of my voice. Father, I ask that you continue the work of this word, even beyond this live, even beyond this broadcast, that you continue to deal with us and continue to help us walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. That you give us, Father God, the conviction, hallelujah, to live as you have purposed us to live, so that we can obtain peace as we walk and live in righteousness and holiness. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for every person saying yes in their hearts right now. We thank you, Father God, for sending them strong men and women of God that will walk with them through the yes of their pursuit. I cover each and every one with the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you for your angels being encamped around and about us, Lord. And we just give you glory, honor, and praise for even the opportunity that we're able to even say yes. For your mercy and your grace being bestowed upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen. That's just a sweet presence from that teaching. I just want to thank you. I don't really have anything to add other than that it was needed and that it was very thorough. And I think it meets us where we are, mature and growing. That's that, you know, the alternative to all things is pursuit. There's no other choice. And I just, it's a powerful message, but I do want to open it up to anyone that has a comment or a question. And let me see how I can do this. Let me give everybody the ability to unmute. But I want to thank you, LA. I think it's a Prophet LA. I think it's a timely message. And I think it is a message that we carry with us daily. And sometimes we have to wake up and decide that this is what we're going to do, because as we can see from Philippians 3, there's a lot of things that can come against us to prevent us from even wanting to pursue or feeling like we can pursue. And I do see this. So the more I talk, the more I realize I may have something to say after all. But I just want to encourage you all. I did unmute, you know, so I did allow for you all to speak if you want to. So that should be available to you. And if you can't be heard, of course, let us know in the chat. But I think that that was a part of the scripture. I don't have, you know, that's strange. My Bible's not here. But I think part of the scripture was talking about those who are mature should set their mind to this. And I just want to clarify that, because that means that if you know you're supposed to do it and you have the wisdom to understand what God wants, that we have to walk in that requirement. But there's another part to this that I think is beautiful. And it's that the Lord understands that there are people who have not had the revelation or who don't have the strength yet to pursue. And I think the beautiful part of this is to see that that while, you know, people like me, I'll just use myself, I have no excuse for not being able to pursue God. No matter how bad my day is, no matter how ugly things are, my maturity demands that I pursue. So my point is this: not everybody is at a place where they can move like that. So we have to understand that what the Lord is even saying in that little bit of that little passage is he got you. You know, and so we need to know that there is strength even in the midst of that, that there is strength in you trying. And I had a picture just now of, you know, you're trying to, I don't know who's ever ran like a 5K or, you know, any type of race or walked it or whatever. It's been years since I've done anything like that. I mean, lots of years. But I can remember running and realizing I couldn't get half a quarter of the way. And so I had a choice. I could stop there, because that passage talked about that, or I could decide to drag my heavy and aching legs to the end. And I remember one time sitting on the ground, and I think I sat there for like 10 minutes. And then I finally got up and I decided to keep going. And I guess that's the picture that we should keep in our minds, not of the person that rips the tape off and makes it to the end. That's wonderful. And we are celebrating with everyone that gets that first place, second place, third place trophy. But it's the people that still keep going, that God is rooting for in this passage of scripture. So as you pursue, you might fall, you might have to sit, you might have to take 10 minutes, you might have to take 3 days, I don't know. But the point is that you keep moving. And I think that is the message. And when a prophet delivers a message like this, I think it's important that we listen. I mean, we listen with keener ears than we listened to before, because we have so much coming against us right now. I mean, things beyond our control. I'm not just talking about our stuff that we battle. But, you know, I woke up this morning to find out a friend of mine's husband passed away. And they're young. And, you know, it's just been one death after another. And these are not just, this has nothing to do with COVID, but it's just natural causes. And I'm like, oh my God. So you never know what the day is going to bring. And again, LA, I want to thank you. I'm going to thank you. I really appreciate the teaching, and I appreciate your willingness to teach. And Jenna, if I didn't acknowledge you last week, the week before for teaching, I can't remember. I want to say thank you for that message. And I want to thank the others who will be teaching and helping out. And before we move, I want to say, I thought I saw a couple of people say they have comments. Oh, okay. It's Christine, Minister Christine, and also Dominique. So you feel free. Christine's already unmuted, so she's a go. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes. Thank you, Apostle. Can you hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Prophet LA.
Bless you.
Towards the end of your teaching, I heard very clearly, there is a way. And I just feel very strongly for somebody on this line to let you know there is a way. We know that the pursuit is Christ. But in our pursuit of Christ, there are some milestones that take place mm-hmm. in the physical realm. And in the place that you are right now, in your emotions and in your physical surroundings and situation, you are struggling to see a way. And even questioning, should I just let this go? But the Lord wants to remind you that He gave you that milestone. He gave you that goal, and that there is a way. Say yes to the pursuit and know that there is a way. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much, Apostle Teresa and Prophet LA, for your words. Just so powerful and potent as always. One of the things that I was thinking about is actually both of you spoke, is it does seem that pursuit is the only reasonable response after you've crossed a certain threshold. It would seem that even when we get tired or exhausted or burned out, quote unquote, that once we cross a certain point, it's not even reasonable to turn around at that point. And it doesn't make sense when you've come so far. And one of the things that really touched me with the combination of what y'all were saying was, sometimes we give up on our pursuit because it doesn't agree with the idea of how we thought it would look. And the reality is, the pursuit can be messy, ugly. You can be limping, wrestling with angels. I mean, you know, it could be a crippled pursuit or a messy pursuit or an ugly pursuit, but it doesn't negate we are to run the good race, run this race of faith that's been set before us. And I just am so thankful for this, Prophet LA, because you've reminded me about